This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is scientist and environmentalist Leighton Stewart, who is the author of Fire, Ice, and Paradise, and he's also the founder of both PlantsNeedCO2.org and CO2IsGreen.org. We've had lots of discussions on this program, and I'm sure you've heard and seen them elsewhere, about the economic impact of the climate change agenda. But what you may not hear often is what could be a very detrimental environmental impact from the very agenda designed to preserve our planet. And Mr. Stewart, thank you very much for being with us.
Well, thank you, Greg.
You say that this agenda could be very harmful for both plants and animals. Let's start with the animals. Why would this be extremely harmful for them if, in fact, this effort to reduce CO2 levels is accomplished?
It's because the animals depend on the plants. The plants are the beginning of our food chain. And that's what CO2 really helps. We all learned in grade school that plants eat CO2. And a lot of the environmental groups and our government and some of the policies they're trying to get put in effect don't realize that if they actually take CO2 out of the atmosphere, they will be taking food away from our plant kingdom, which will affect the entire environmental spectra. When you look at our habitats, our ecosystems, our food supply, more carbon dioxide in the atmosphere that fertilizes all of these things would be beneficial. Now, that was a surprise to me. I got into this looking at the climate change aspects about 3 or 4 years ago, and I just got onto this plant thing within the last three quarters of a year, but there's been some tremendous documentation by the agricultural community, the agricultural universities, the commercial greenhouse operators that have done thousands, and I repeat, thousands of peer-reviewed studies that show what additional carbon dioxide can do for our environment. A lot of the environmental organizations don't realize this. They've been only looking and hearing about the potential negative side effects of CO2 and what it does to what it might do to really cause significantly more warming, and they have absolutely ignored this other side of it. And CO2 is very beneficial for the earth, and it is certainly not a detriment to mankind.
And, of course, anyone who's followed this debate knows that CO2 does not make up a very large percentage of our atmosphere. How much of a reduction would it take to seriously harm our plants and therefore the rest of the food chain?
Well, we're at 387 parts per million right now. That would be the global average of what we breathe every day. At the beginning of the Industrial Revolution, we were at about 280. So we've come up a little over 100 parts per million from 280 parts per million. In that time period, the average plant growth has increased, and this is documented in these studies I've been telling you about, not studies I've done, but studies that I have researched. The average plant growth has increased by 12%, and the average tree growth, that would be our forest, has increased by 18% since about 1860 when the CO2 levels began to rise. So if we go back, let's say we go back and we go back to pre-industrial times, which is what a lot of the environmental organizations would like to see done, so that you'd say, well, this will take care of any CO2 that has been put in the atmosphere by man. We would be reducing the world's food supply by that 12%, and we would decrease the growth in our forest by the 18%. Now, the studies have gone in, and they have added CO2 in these chambers where they've done this research. They've kept the water, the fertilizer, everything else exactly the same. They've only increased the CO2. They've added another 300 parts per million, and then they'll have another one and add 600 parts per million. And they see what it does. If we added 300 parts per million and got up over 600 total, we would increase plant growth, our vegetables, our fruits, what you buy in a grocery store, we would increase that by over 30%. And the forest would increase their growth by over 50%. So when I'm talking about habitats and ecosystems and their capacity to carry animal life, it all improves with more carbon dioxide. So, well, Mr. Stewart, but CO2 is causing, you know, the earth to get catastrophically warm. Well, that is just not what the science shows. There are three main things that refute that. One is, in all these ice cores that they studied from both poles, from Greenland and from South America, scientists from all over the world now agree that the temperature changes ahead of the CO2 changes, and a cause does not follow an effect. So CO2 is clearly not causing the initial change. Secondly, CO2, this is per the laws of physics, CO2's ability to trap more heat in Earth's atmosphere declines logarithmically, or in plain terms, very rapidly. The first 20 parts per million in our atmosphere caused a lot of warming. Thank goodness, or our planet would be frozen. Now, when we add to the 387 parts per million, you can double that and still not even make a degree of difference in the temperature. And that's just per the laws of physics. Lastly, and very importantly, empirical evidence, that's real evidence, looking at data of what's happening to the climate today, which is gradually cooling, not warming as this CO2 is going up like crazy. And then you look back at all of last century, which showed these rises and falls and rises and falls as the CO2 level built up. And then you go all the way back to the beginning of the Industrial Revolution, and you go back before the medieval warm period in 700 AD, and you see all of these changes in temperature and hardly any change in the CO2 levels. So carbon dioxide, per just looking back at real data, not model data, but real data, shows that carbon dioxide is not a major driver of climate change.
Mr. Stewart, unfortunately, our time is up. Thank you very much for being with us today.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much, Greg.
Leighton Stewart, the book is Fire, Ice, and Paradise. He's also the founder of PlantsNeedCO2.org and CO2IsGreen.org. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.